When things were good, you had faith, plenty of it. But last night, your husband died. Or your boss screamed at you, "Get out, you're fired." It seems that average faith just gets us through average pain. What about the really big storms? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, this is Kenneth Richards with a Friday reminder that you can still write and receive a complimentary copy of Lonnie's brand new book entitled A Suitcase Full of Faith. It includes this entire two-week radio miniseries, so be sure to let us send you a copy. Here's our address, The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Now, let's join Lonnie for today's message, Faith at Midnight.
Writer and pastor Morris Vendon tells the story of a young college student who burst into his office one day and said, "You can have your God and your Jesus and your faith and the whole blankety-blank business. I'm through with it." Well, why? Well, apparently this student had recently lost his wife to a terminal illness. He had prayed and he thought trusted God. He thought he had faith. In fact, he told Vendon so. "I've had faith that she'd be healed, and we prayed and everything," he said through his tears and his anger. But now, with his wife buried in a cemetery, he was ready to abandon his trust relationship with God. What happens to faith when things get hard? If faith is a feeling, an emotional glow, we're certainly in trouble, aren't we? We've been talking about that this week. But friend, what if faith for you is a secure trust relationship with God? What if you truly are leaning on the everlasting arms and then something very hard and difficult happens? As a Christian pastor, I've officiated at probably hundreds of funerals. Even now, with my position here at the Voice of Prophecy, I'd say probably every month I receive phone calls from old friends and parishioners that I knew. "Pastor Lonnie, my wife just passed away. My husband, our little girl was killed in a car wreck. Would you come and have the funeral?" And I want to tell you, there's nothing more difficult for me than a funeral. But I haven't stood at the graveside of my own spouse. That kind of hardness hasn't come into my life. I haven't yet been tested as that young man was at the beginning of the story. In a sermon entitled Rock Solid Faith, my pastor friend Dan Smith from La Sierra University Adventist Church asks this question. Is there anything that could deliver a knockout blow to your faith that would knock you out, leave you down for the count? What if a scandal hit your church, he asks, your own pastor, or a famous big name in your denomination? What kind of theological controversy might cause your little ship to begin to sink? Now, what if some new scientific or archaeological discovery came out that seemed to prove that the Bible couldn't be trusted? Then he gets down to the kinds of more personal questions that really hit us in the gut. You lose your job, or like in the board game Careers, you hit that square which says lose all your money. Someone in your family is sick, or maybe you're sick. And you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens. You know, we get letters like that every single week here at the Voice of Prophecy. One of my staff members recently told me an experience he had when he was preaching at a church in Missouri. And after the service, a middle-aged mother came up to him and began to describe her experience with her son. Now, he was in his 20s and had always had chemical imbalance problems that caused him to be moody, even rude, and out of control. He couldn't hold down a job, obviously, so he was usually at home needing to be cared for, but stubbornly resisting every moment of it. He had medicine, but he would often forget to take it. And for years, this mother had been going through a living hell. And her own son would scream at her, his shouts laced with obscene profanities. He talked dirty to his own mom. And life was a roller coaster of agonizing mood swings. Well, suddenly, as this woman shared with my staff member, she simply began to shake. Great big sobs racked her body, and she seemed like she was about to collapse. My friend simply held her for a few minutes there in the quietness of that empty church. Because what do you say in a moment like that? How do you hold on to your faith, your trust in God, when things get hard and they stay hard? You know, we've been so focused on Hebrews chapter 11 that we might not notice some of the gems lying nearby. For instance, in chapter 10, verse 23, we find this beautiful challenge. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. It's easy to have faith in the smooth waters and then let go of our trust relationship when we enter the rapids, when our raft hits the river wild, isn't it? And yet, God encourages us to hold on unswervingly. I am faithful, he reminds us. You can trust me through whatever comes your way. It's been pointed out that we have an enemy who will attack us at the point of our greatest weakness. Satan will invade your trust relationship, friend, with God in the area where he senses that you're vulnerable. But remember, the God who promises us is faithful. In the book of Luke, on a Thursday evening, Jesus turns to say a word to Simon Peter. He knows that for Peter, the time of his greatest crisis is just a few hours away. Peter's Waterloo and Watergate are just ahead. He knows that Satan will attack Peter at his most vulnerable point, his big mouth and his instinct for self-preservation. Talk big, then chicken out, was Peter's defining characteristic. And Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But now listen to this. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. It's an awesome thought that when you face your toughest moment, your time of greatest heartache, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus himself, who is God, is praying to and pleading with his own Father on your behalf. He's praying that your faith, friend, won't fail, that you won't abandon your trust relationship with God during the storm's darkest hours. When you're sitting in the front row of your hardest funeral, Jesus is praying for you. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, we find even more encouraging words of promise, starting with verse 35. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. The author ends with the ringing words of hope. Don't shrink back. Hold on. He who is coming will come. Can I open my heart to you for a moment, friends? You know, one of the most wrenching aspects of today's dangerous so-called faith movement is how they treat this matter of crises. What happens when a person is sick? Or when a loved one dies? What happens to our faith during the hardest of times? I could quote for you page after page after page from some of these preachers who claim that a faith-filled Christian will never be sick. Never! I mean, here's just one quotation from one of today's popular TV preachers. Listen very carefully. This is important, and I'm quoting. Sickness does not belong to you. It has no part in the body of Christ. Sickness does not belong to any of us. The Bible declares if the Word of God is in our life, there will be health, there will be healing, divine health and divine healing. There will be no sickness for the saint of God. If Moses could live such a healthy life, so can you. Now, friend, here's a little more from the same person. God promises to heal all, everyone, any whatsoever, everything, all our diseases. That means not even a headache, sinus problem, not even a toothache, nothing. No sickness should come your way. In fact, friend, one popular Southern California TV minister has said this, and I'm quoting, when you have developed your faith to such an extent that you can stand on the promises of God, then you won't need medicine. That's the reason I don't take medicine. End of quote. Now, friend, here's the focal point of this heresy. Obviously, the errors in this thinking are self-evident. What in the world would these dangerously wrong statements imply about a godly, humble Christian woman like Johnny Erickson Tada, who has bravely endured her disabled state for years? She struggles mightily with her pain and her crippled condition, and she trusts God. She has unswerving, abundant faith. But do you know what those in the faith movement say about people who are sick? Their faith has failed, they claim. Or they didn't have enough faith. They should work harder to have more faith. And we've been saying all week, more faith in faith instead of more faith in God. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me. Do you see what a deadly catch-22 we're faced with here in the 1990s? Those who have faith will never be sick, these teachers say. A doctrine that's totally false, totally unbiblical. Then when it fails, when it doesn't work, instead of recanting their untruths, they lay the blame on the poor, struggling person who's bearing the load in the first place. Could anything be more cruel? Friend, how much better is the plain word of God? To have faith is simply to trust God. To trust Him when things are hard. To trust Him during a lingering illness. To trust Him if, when you ask for healing, the answer comes back no, or not now. Friend, to trust Him when you're riding the black limousine to the cemetery to bury your child. God knows. He hasn't left you. He's still there. At that very moment, Jesus is praying for you to continue to trust. And so we say in closing, have faith in God when storm clouds fill your day. Have faith in God when you can't see your way. Have faith in God. He promises to stay. Have faith, dear friend, in God.
Yes, friend, God will stay with you, no matter how high the waves are. Let me invite you again to pick up the telephone and request a free copy of Lonnie's book, A Suitcase Full of Faith. Here's our 24-hour request line, 1-800-872-0055. That's 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for A Suitcase Full of Faith. In Canada, it's Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now, here's Lonnie Milashenko.
Thanks, Ken. Well, friends, as we approach the weekend, Ken and I want to extend a special invitation to you. And here it is, your personal appointment with God in church. Why not plan right now to spend some time in a Bible-believing Christian church this weekend? Of course, tomorrow there'll be friendly Seventh-day Adventist churches all over North America with their doors open, ready and eager to welcome you as a special guest. By the way, next Monday we'll be continuing with this series, A Suitcase Full of Faith. Monday's title goes like this, The Mayor's Best Friends. Until Monday, this is Lonnie Milashenko with faithful sidekick Kenneth Richards reminding you it's always true, friend, God loves you.
I spent a week as pastor at Leone Meadows, a church-run summer camp in the foothills of the Sierras. Towering fir, pine, and cedar trees surround the meadows. The facilities are great, the food was good, but I was most impressed with the staff. College students out for the summer, and a few high school kids. Friday night, after putting on a passion play for the campers, the staff gathered for a time of singing and conversation. They began giving thanks, and several times I heard the same guy's name, Chris. It seemed whenever someone needed a hand, Chris would show up. One of the wranglers told of seeing Chris and another staff member drive by in a pickup truck headed for supper. The wrangler had 24 horses to be unsaddled and taken care of before he could leave them, and he just knew the cafeteria was going to close before he could get there. A few minutes later, he heard the truck again. It was Chris. Chris had dropped off the other staffer and had come back to help. The two fellows worked together and got the horses all unsaddled and taken care of, and then headed for supper. They made it. Who do you know that could use a hand this week? Who will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.